The Stateside Soccer Show, talking the beautiful game in the land of the free. Breaking down Major League Soccer, US Men's National Team, and more with Logan and Jordan.
Hello and welcome to the Stateside Soccer Show. My name is Jordan. With me, as always, is Logan. How are you today, Logan?
I'm good, Jordan. I'm excited for this episode because I think it's an interesting topic. I think seeing the visceral reaction on X is making me excited for this episode. I've got a lot to say, and maybe some things that you want to, we might not agree as much on this one.
We might not.
I think, yeah, I've got other opinions. I was sitting there, Jordan, I was thinking about this, and, you know, shower thoughts. I think about US Open Cup. Who doesn't?
Yeah. Yeah. That's always on my mind, in my shower thoughts. No, I also had some thoughts that I shared on Twitter, but also I shared on Reddit. There was like this whole Reddit thread that I was going back and forth with this person on because I just felt like they weren't, I don't know. I think they were being a little... I don't want to say like hypocritical, but not looking at it at the full picture, I guess. So yes, we're going to talk US Open Cup reaction. That's what this is all about here. So look, we had an episode in December or something, right? January, December. That was all about, the MLS tried to pull out of the Open Cup and wanted their MLS Next Pro teams to take part. US Soccer said no. And we kind of didn't know what the rest of the season was going to be. I just thought maybe, okay, we'll just do all teams this year and they'll figure out what they're doing after this. But they came out the format. So let's take a look at the official format. This was released March 1st, Friday news drop. So that way it would get overlooked. U.S. Soccer has finalized the format of the 2024 Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup, which includes 96 teams from across the amateur and professional ranks, playing a total of 95 games from March to September. In a historic shift for the tournament, the upcoming first round will mark the first time since 2008 that all 32 matchups will be exclusively between amateur and professional teams. Overall, this year's edition of the tournament will feature the most first-round matchups between amateur and professional teams in the tournament's 109-year history, more than doubling the previous amount of 16. So this is all fluff to get you on board, okay? U.S. Soccer will be making its largest ever investment in the tournament in 2024 with new commercial partners including Marriott, Michelob Ultra, okay, New York Life, and Nike. U.S. Soccer has prioritized enhanced financial incentives for participating teams, including significantly increased travel reimbursement. The Federation's financial commitment also represents the most significant effort to date towards promotion of the tournament, underscoring U.S. Soccer's dedication to fostering a more vibrant Lamar Hunt U.S. Open experience for fans and teams alike. So one, they had to put out three paragraphs before they tell you the bad news. So they're like, here's all the good news. All right, we're going to have the most this, the most that, the most money. All that is good, by the way. If they can get the production behind this better, if they can actually find TV deals for this, that would be better and would probably make teams like MLS more invested in the tournament. The Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup is the U.S. Soccer's club championship and has crowned a champion annually since 1914, except for 2020 and 2021 due to COVID. The historic tournament is conducted on a single-game knockout basis and open to all professional and amateur teams affiliated with U.S. Soccer. It is the oldest ongoing national soccer competition in the U.S. and the world's third-longest continuously run national cup tournament. All right, so the first round, this is all, I'm reading this all from USsoccer.com, all right? I'm not winging this. The first round of the 2024 U.S. Open Cup will consist of 32 games with 32 amateur clubs from the Open Division, meeting 32 professional teams from Division 3. The Open Division representatives include 11 qualifying round winners, 11 League 2 USL teams, 8 NPSL teams, the USASA National Amateur Cup Champion, and the UPSL Spring Champion. Division III representatives include 12 U.S. League One teams, 9 NISA teams, and 11 MLS Next Pro teams. The winners of the first round will play each other in the second round of the tournament. The winners of the second round will then be matched up against 16 Division II professional teams from the USL Championship, which will enter the competition in the third round. The remaining 8 USL Championship teams and 8 MLS teams will enter in the round of 32, along with the winners of the third round. The 8 USL champion teams, the 8 USL championship teams include 2023 league champion Phoenix Rising, and the next 7 best teams from 2023 standings enter the round of 32. The MLS clubs participating in the 2024 Champions Cup and their MLS Next Pro teams were excluded from the selection process for the 2024 U.S. Open Cup, which was determined based on results in the 2023 regular season. See below for the full list of participating teams. So that would be Atlanta United, FC Dallas, Houston Dynamo, because they're the previous defending champion, LAFC, RSL, San Jose Earthquakes, Seattle Sounders, and Sporting Kansas City. And the first round kicks off March 19th through March 21st. So we're coming up on that. All right, Logan, I guess your thoughts on the general format of this.
I think the more teams that they could involve from lower level tier leagues and even amateur leagues, I think that component's interesting, because as the MLS clubs have kind of obviously decreased the number, I think, you know, adding in some of these clubs that and honestly, like the format before could have had similar numbers. But I think that the MLS kind of getting out of the way adds in more intrigue, because it'll add more, as far as like the lower clubs are concerned. I think it adds in more opportunities for the lower clubs to compete in the tournament that normally wouldn't be there, because MLS would be holding those spots. So I think on that aspect, it does allow for some of these lower tier teams to play in a competition against professional athletes and really make a name for their amateur clubs. And I think some of those amateur clubs, Jordan, are clubs that are interested in also joining in professional leagues at some point. So I think that's one of the benefits, I guess, of MLS moving out of the way some, is that it does allow for some of these smaller teams to compete at in a different round or advance into a different round and play. But I think ultimately that part of it, like the setup and including more teams than ever, and historically that, you know, they've been able to add more teams, I think that's enticing for, at least if you're fans of the lower tier teams, that you're finally in a competition where you get to play some of these clubs.
I, what I'll say is this is better than nothing.
Yeah.
Right. This is better than all of the MLS clubs being pulled out. And I'll go through the history of the Open Cup in a second here. But do I want every MLS team in this cup? Yes. Do I think that the cup can survive without every team? Yes, I do. Now, the reason why you can't have all MLS clubs pull out of this is because that probably would not kill the cup. It would be a big blow, because what type of TV deal are they going to get if they can't have MLS clubs? Because those are the people that are going to probably watch more than the amateur side that averages 500 people to their little game, right? Like, that just is what it is. But what I want to clarify with this, that anybody that thinks that this itself is going to kill the cup, I disagree. Let's look at the history. All right. Some people are like, hey, like, you can't, like, this won't count as being a legitimate champion because the best teams are not playing in this, or not enough MLS teams are playing in this. So 2011, 40 teams participated in the U.S. Open Cup. That's at 40. We're at 90 something now. We had 40 teams participate in the tournament proper. This is what I'm going to say, because all of this stuff that they just said is about the tournament proper, not the qualifying rounds. That they don't count, right? This is the tournament proper. The tournament proper, 2011, we had 40 teams. 11 USL pro teams entered in the first round. 9 USL PDL, that's League 2 now. 4 NPSL and 8 USA SA clubs entered. The second round, they continued. The third round, 8 MLS clubs entered. Funny, that's how many we're getting this year. 8 clubs. This is how they figured out which 8 MLS clubs. I know back then we had less teams, but bear with me here. 6 of them qualified through league standing. It was the top 6 in the Supporter Shield rankings would get into this automatic bids into the Open Cup. And in 2011, they based it off 2010. So Galaxy, RSL, Red Bulls, Dallas, Columbus, and Seattle got in to the U.S. Open Cup. The champion was Seattle, by the way. They won the U.S. Open Cup. This was on their run where they won like 4 in a row. Then they had qualifying. So here's what I was saying. So on Reddit, somebody was like, I just said my thoughts first there, which was something along the lines of, I'm a big Open Cup fan, but in the history of the Cup, there have been seasons where not all MLS clubs have played. Even in Seattle's run of 4 in a row is very limited MLS participation. But do we look back at those years as not real Open Cup champs? Not really. Hopefully the Cup is able to survive and continue to survive, and hopefully U.S. Soccer is seriously about upping their financial input. We need better broadcasts. I don't think this is the death of the Cup in any way. Seattle fan came back and said, limited MLS participation is not correct. I said, how so? 2011 at 8 teams. That's very limited. They said, all 16 MLS teams played qualifying games to enter. So if you're playing competitive games to qualify for a tournament, that certainly seems like participation. So I said, I'm talking about the main tournament. That's why I specified this at the top. People have been calling this the FA Cup equivalent, but it didn't really become that until 2012 when all MLS teams got a berth into the main tournament. 2011 only had 40 teams main tournament. The qualification for this year is next 7 Supporter Shield standings plus the defending champ. I said that is the equivalent to the qualification tournaments MLS used in the past. 2010, top 6 MLS clubs auto-qualified. The remaining 2 came from a playoff of strictly MLS clubs. 2011, the top 6 auto-qualified. The remaining 2 spots came from a playoff of strictly MLS clubs. So for this edition, you could say that all teams participated since it is basing the qualification from the MLS previous season results like those 2 other editions did. My point was that the tournament proper has had limited MLS clubs before and survived and can again. So, look, I get it. I get it from everybody that is upset about this. We're going backwards. That's not what I want. But you can't count this qualification of strictly MLS clubs to get 2 more spots in the Open Cup as taking part in the U.S. Open Cup. Okay? That doesn't count because, 1, the qualifications don't count. And 2, is it really the Open Cup if all they're facing are MLS teams to get there? No, that's not the fun of the Open Cup. So my point was, it wasn't the FA Cup in 2011 and 2010. It's not going to be structured like that again. But people still loved the Open Cup. Seattle took it seriously. Seattle is part of the reason why this has become such a big deal, I feel like. They went out and won 4 in a row when other MLS clubs, even back then, were just putting out lower, you know, their youth teams because they didn't care about it. We had Messi and then play right in the semifinals of the Open Cup. That's not what we would have done in the past. So the fact that there was a qualification method tracks with the past is all I'm trying to say. And back then, we weren't up in arms about it. We weren't. I loved the Open Cup. I was one of those ones streaming it Gold TV while I'm trying to, you know, watch it because it didn't have a good TV partner. And I'm happy that it's still existing and that these MLS clubs are doing it. And maybe this is the way to do it. So, look, you can say the other way is get rid of League's Cup. That's not going to happen. MLS controls League's Cup. No amount of protesting will do that. If you want to protest, go ahead. See, St. Louis put on a really good protest yesterday with their Open Cup banners. It was great. But my main point is, for fixture congestion, if you want to have just the seven next runners up in Supporter Shield that didn't get CCC, that's fine. I think that works. But then you also have clubs like Cincinnati that come out and say, we want to determine if we want to play in it or not. We want to play in it. St. Louis said the same thing. And I think maybe it should be up for the individual club if they want to participate or not.
I think they basically have set this up almost to where it's and it's not FA Cup. Like the fact that when people say it's like FA Cup, like it's an idea of the FA Cup because it does involve the lower tier teams that get to play against the professional teams
and
have that chance to take down a Goliath. But it's not, it will never be because one, and not to put down any of the lower tier teams, is it just doesn't have the following. Like those smaller clubs in England that are in League Two or even in the National League, they have such a huge following because of where they are.
It's and in their a DNA. Lot of those cities,
yeah, it's ingrained into their family for hundreds of years. The Riverhounds are not ingrained into anybody's bloodstream for hundreds of years because the country's not even that old. So that's where it's tough, is that I do feel bad for the smaller clubs that do get revenue from this because I think they see more revenue than they ever see when they're playing an MLS side, and they do see that competition increase, and they do get to see, you know, fans do come out to these games and pack these small stadiums or parks that they play in or basketball stadiums. Hell, if I know where they play sometimes. But again, I think it does hurt the smaller clubs. It always hurts. Everything always hurts the smaller clubs, no matter what they decide to do. League's Cup hurts the smaller clubs because that's time. Summer is usually a dead time in MLS, and maybe you have more interest to go see some of these clubs. MLS Next Pro, that hurt smaller clubs because these bigger clubs are now having a feeder system. But again, if people are mad about that, but you go and support a Major League Baseball team, you're doing the exact same thing. Because
Well, what they're upset about more with the MLS Next Pro is that they're entering markets of the other, you know, like the smaller clubs, and they're trying to like stamp them out a bit. That's what I would say with that.
Yeah, and I get it. But again, if they turn the MLS Next Pro into more like a minor league system, nobody's complaining about it. Nobody complains about minor league baseball. So it is that similar effect. And I get it. You want to stick to your roots. What soccer became in England was because these smaller clubs turn these giants into the giants that they become. But you know, to blame solely on MLS is stupid, because US Soccer Federation did not help matters. And the fact that, like, it didn't seem like they took this tournament seriously, Jordan, until people started to get pissed off because MLS threatened them that we're not going to compete. Because let's be honest, like, these MLS clubs that are hosting these Tuesday night games against Sacramento Republic, they're losing money. They have to pay staff to man the gates, security, concessions, like their TV, like, and nobody's going to watch, you know, not enough people are going to watch Sacramento Republic play Orlando City. Like, it doesn't financially make a whole lot of sense. And people are like, well, they're just greedy. I'm like, okay, so if you had a business and you were losing money, would you also be in this boat of like, well, we'll just keep doing it because it's cool? Like, no, you're not going to keep doing something like that. And I do feel bad for the small clubs. And I think it is greed, but that's what this whole system has run upon. And that's what American sports run on, England sports. Like, if you support one of the big six or eight in England, you are also greedy because you are putting your investment into these clubs. Like, if you're Manchester City, Arsenal, United, they don't spend money. But, like, you know what I mean? Liverpool, you're supporting a big financial corporation is what you're doing. And it's the same thing. Like, and people are going to get frustrated on Twitter. It's the natural reaction to go after, well, they're picking on the small teams. But let's be honest, guys, like there are a group of people out there, and I don't want to, you know, make anybody mad about, you know, if they support like their local clubs, but it doesn't make sense for MLS to put everything they have into this tournament if the investment's not there. And that's why I think that U.S. Soccer Federation went out and look what we did with these sponsors. Look who we're working with. And now MLS wants to back out. And it was like, okay, where were they before? Because they weren't around before. Like, why did you just kind of stall out and not have these sponsorships? The fact that they say we're going to really push marketing now, that means they didn't before. So don't just blame MLS. This is U.S. Federation too. Like, this is the U.S. problem. And U.S. soccer, do we not forget? Like, it seems like everybody just forgets the past with U.S. soccer. Like, the soccer federation, they're scum too. Like,
a lot of people were blaming them too for what they said as, you know, bowing just down to.
They didn't bow down. They were just trying not to be the dirtier one. Like, they're dirty as well. Like, the reason why U.S. soccer hasn't been as successful as they need to be is because U.S. Soccer Federation refuses to put the resources where their mouths are.
Like, right.
That's ultimately what it is. The U.S. Soccer Federation is they're the ones to blame first. MLS just came second because they're like, if you're not going to put money into this tournament, we're just going to go spend all our money with Liga MX because they're willing to.
And they've been putting on a good tournament with that. Yeah. So then, yeah, no, I do blame U.S. Soccer for this as well. I've been calling for better broadcasts for Open Cup.
Yes,
I've been
not calling a YouTube for, channel. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, because what? They sold the rights. Part of the rights go with, okay, so U.S., the rights for the Open Cup are mixed in with the rights for U.S. soccer. So when they sell a U.S. men's national team, the other people get it as well. So HBO Max or, you know, TNT and stuff had the Open Cup. They weren't doing much with it, and it ended up being thrown on Bleacher Report's YouTube and U.S. Open Cup YouTube, and then CBS stepped up and said, hey, we'll put this stuff on Paramount Plus and we'll like actually promote it and stuff. But still, like, the quality wasn't there. So just part of this too was that it was reported around February 19th that Arthur Matheson resigned as the chairman of the USSF's US Open Cup committee. He said he was asked to stand down by higher-ups on multiple occasions in terms of finding a solution as it relates to MLS participation, and he says the cup is in grave danger. So it does seem like he wanted to go a little bit more burning bridges approach with MLS, and U.S. Soccer told him to stand down. So again, there you go with it's the people that were even the chairman of the cup couldn't determine what to do, and U.S. Soccer stepped in and pretty much told them we can't do anything. Right. It's kind of what U.S. Soccer was pretty much saying. And part of that too, what sucks about this is I see a lot of people saying, okay, remove the Division I status from MLS. And that's never going to happen. If that happened, that would actually be more detrimental than losing the Open Cup. Soccer. Right. That would destroy U.S. Soccer. Unless if MLS was able to say, we can keep all of these, you know, if they could keep hold of all their players and stuff, but it would set us back way more than losing the Open Cup. All right. It just would, because before 1993, when they first founded MLS and they started playing 96, there was no top flight at that point. So, and USL's not ready for that jump. They're just not.
No,
they're not ready for that jump yet. So I don't know. We'll see how it pans out, I guess. But anything else about the Open Cup? We'll still cover it on here, of course. Even if all MLS clubs pulled out, we'll talk Open Cup. I love the cup. So
yeah, I mean I get it. Like, I get the appeal of it. It is a great idea to think of this like an FA Cup, because it does allow these smaller teams playing up against. It is cool to see Sacramento play Orlando City, but if I'm a neutral, Jordan, I'm not tuning into that game. Like, I just don't. And that's the tough part, is that the U.S. Open Cup had its fans, but it were fans such as like yourself that supported this club long, or this league, long before a Champions Cup or a Leagues Cup existed. Now that Leagues Cup exists, and now that Champions Cup is to the magnitude in which it exists, like, I mean, Messi and Suarez have talked about the cup itself. They've talked about how they have seen the South American fans get on board because they get to see some of their players that play in Central America play some of their, you know, players that play in North America. And it's a competition that's really popular. Leagues Cup, like, I love that fact where people are like, oh, you know, boycott the Leagues Cup, because MLS. And it's like, you were the same people that loved Leagues Cup and you knew that there was an opportunity for it to absolutely smash in the US Open Cup. We were talking about fixture congestion last year. So people that are all up on end about, you know, this is all MLS fault. This is not all MLS fault. Like, this is US soccer's fault. Like, this is 100% because we haven't taken this sport seriously enough in this country. And just when we start to, MLS has made these decisions to really amplify, and Leagues Cup is going to make a lot more money. It's going to get a lot more exposure because people in Europe know that Mexico is a formidable opponent. If MLS clubs are beating up on these, you know, Mexican giants, then that's going to be more allure for fans worldwide than a US Open Cup is. That's going to try to follow a team from Idaho. Like, it just doesn't make any sense worldwide to continue to try to put all of your eggs in the US Open Cup basket. And we might sound like we're poo-pooing on it, but I mean, I do. I love the US Open Cup, but I don't think it'll continue on. It'll keep going.
The hardest thing is to try to get casuals on board with it. They don't understand it. When NBA did their in-season tournament, people tried to explain that it's based off of that. They're like, I don't really care for this. Yeah. And, American fans are not wired this way. They pay attention to the league, right? So they'll go to MLSsoccer.com. They'll go to the schedule for their team. They'll see the games. They don't show up to certain games. Even CCC has trouble breaking in because it's not part of – some of them are not part of season ticket packages, so that's hard to get people on board. Then you also have – when these games take place midweek for Open Cup and for CCC, and with CONCACAF setting the times for that, which we'll get into when we talk Champions Cup and stuff, it's 6 o'clock on a Tuesday. You better be home and be ready to either watch the game on TV or get to the stadium. So it is right. Or it'll be 10 o'clock Eastern and you're like, why are we having such a late game?
Yeah.
It's all the scheduling and stuff like that too. And we're still in like a cold period where people are not wanting to be outside in 30 degree weather watching a game. They just won't.
Yeah.
They'll do it for football. People will say, well, they'll do it for NFL. I'm like, yeah, cause that's been in their, in their history since the 60s or whatever.
Yeah. Like, and they're playing like 2 or 3 weeks in the cold. Yeah.
Yeah. And it takes a while to break into the zeitgeist. So,
yeah. And I think another thing too, like what I think I myself forget sometimes is like when I look at this tournament, I think one thing we all forget is collectively, this country's huge. Like England works.
Yeah.
England works because like it's only a 45-minute whisk over to your sports stadium that you're getting to see these League Two players play. And you go right down the street and play, you know, see your Premier League team. And I'm sure there are fans that are going more in that direction where they have teams at each division where they feel like they can support a lot of teams at different divisions. And I think that's what the US has done as well. There's a lot of us that support Wrexham and also support one of the Premier League teams because we don't see it, you know, in our future that they're playing together. But like that's where it's different in the US. Like it's hard for me, Jordan, it's hard for me to drive over to see the Tampa Bay Rowdies. Like I'd love to go see a Rowdies game, but it's an hour and a half for me. Like that's a 3 hour back and forth, not to mention the game. So that's like a 5 hour trip. Like, you know what I mean? So that's what's tough. The locality of the teams, unless you have a team in your backyard that you support, nobody else as a neutral is supporting like Indy 11 from Florida. Like it's just not happening. So that's the challenge too, I think.
All right. So you can leave in the comments, tell us how wrong we are. Tell us your thoughts on the Open Cup changes for this year. I'm just not sounding the alarm right now. This cup can still survive like this. And, you know, but if you want to protest, I'm not going to tell you not to. Go ahead and do what you need to do to do that. But you can reach us at Stateside Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, all of those great places. All right. And then let me pause.